Hey, this is Holly, and I want to give you a little extra message this month based on something that happened to me with the Lord. I'm going to issue a little bit of a warning ahead of time. I'm going to probably read Ezekiel 16, which if there was a chapter of the Bible that might be considered for adults only, it would be that. So if you have kids, I would encourage you to listen to this when they are not in the room. Hallelujah. I also want to say, if you're going to listen to this, please listen all the way to the end. I don't want this to be fearful to anyone. I don't want this to be discouraging to anyone. This is something that happened to me when I was with the Lord, and I've been really concerned about America, and I've been praying about this country because I'm really bothered by not only the things that are going on that I really feel are being ramped up by the enemy. I feel like foul spirits are behind a lot of the craziness in many corners. It's not just one thing. There are a number of things going on. I also am seeing another storm coming that has to do with the economy. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of details about it, but I will say that it has caused me to really ask questions of the Lord. And earlier in the summer, some of you may have heard me say that I've been praying to the Lord about the fact that this country was founded on purpose, on biblical principles. It was founded by people who came here for religious freedom and so that they could worship Jesus freely. And the laws that we have, every part of our founding documents was very much based on the Bible. And so I've gone before the Lord with that as a legal emphasis, saying, you know, this is a Christian nation, this is your nation, and so the things that Satan are doing are illegal. And I've been talking to him about turning things, because I'm very worried about the fall, and I shouldn't say worried, but I'm concerned about some of the things that I see where I feel like the enemy is trying to wedge his foot in the door and cause some things to happen that will send this country down the wrong path. An ungodly road, and I'm very concerned. And so I've been entreating the Lord and saying, how do we deal with this? And I was just asking him to change things, you know, turn it around. This is your country. And this is very, very unusual, but I could feel the Lord actually kind of resisting. And, you know, that really never happens with me. You know, when I ask him for something, you know, he talks freely about it. He's very open and almost, I mean, really says yes, you know, because first of all, I only ask for stuff that I think is in his will. But in this, I felt his resistance, like, I'm not listening. And I know when he says that, there is some very good reasons. And so I said, talk to me, God. What's your heart and what is going on? And so I felt like this isn't the word of the month, but I felt like for my partners and possibly for some others, it's important that we get ourselves more basically in the will of God as much as we are able, all of us. And so the first thing I want to say is I will read some scriptures that are very scary. They are from the Old Testament, and we are New Covenant believers. And most of you know I am not a gloom and doomer. I can't stand the gloomy, oh, things are going to be so terrible. I can't stand that kind of prophetic work. And yet I think we would be blind if we didn't recognize that there are some things coming. And Jesus very much prophesied and said clearly that some very difficult, he said, in the end, at the end, perilous times will come. Well, we're there. And so this is not to scare you, but to I want to share as well as I can, Lord willing, that there are a number of things that will happen, and where you are standing in God can be a very safe place and a very blessed place. And if you're not standing in a certain place, you might want to get there. So this is a warning, but it's a warning with a blessing. So stick with me till the end. I don't want anybody to be scared or hopeless. So, when I was praying that day, I was really saying, God, show me your heart, and why am I feeling your resistance to this prayer? And I heard the scripture, my people have forgotten me days without number. And basically his frustration in that is with, I think, his own people, or people who name his name but really haven't sought him or put him first. He's been last and always put off, you know, procrastination. I'll do it sometime. Oh yeah, you know, I'll get to it. Or people who are really what we might call nominal Christians. Maybe they said the prayer, or maybe they go to church, but they're not devoted to him, and they forget about him. He's not first in their life, and he's put up with that for years and years and years. And I saw a strange thing. If you've ever seen the game Yahtzee, it's a game of dice. And I have played that game, and we don't use there. There's a shaker can, and it's like a half of a cardboard can, and you take the dice and you shake it in this can and roll the dice out. Well, I actually saw God shaking this can, and I could hear the dice just shaking around. And I knew he was saying that he is challenging people. And this goes back to a word I gave some months ago, that he is separating the wheat from the tares. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. And he is letting us determine, really, whether we want to be wheat or chaff. And the shaking, when you have a winnowing fan, when he says his winnowing fan is in his hand, what happens is you take the grain which has the chaff on it, and you throw it in the air, and you throw it in the air, and you just keep throwing it in the air, and finally what happens is the chaff blows away in the wind, but the grain that is good, because of its weight, falls back into the fan, and at the end you're left with just the good grain. Well, what he pointed out to me one day is that means both the wheat and the chaff are being thrown in the air. In other words, he's shaking the dice. Everybody's getting shaken. And those that are true, those that are his, those that are in him, those whose hearts are wholly his, they will stick. And they'll be safe in him and they'll be okay. But those who are in name only, you know, the Bible says, oh, you believe in God, that's great. The demons believe and tremble. So just believing in him is not being saved. Just believing in him is not being in him. And so I feel like God is kind of saying, my people have forgotten me, days without number, and I've kind of had about enough of it, is my paraphrase. Well, with that, I felt like he said something he has said to me many years ago. He said, this isn't about what people do, you know, this isn't about how they vote or what they believe politically. This isn't about what they do with coronavirus. This isn't about what they do with the mask or what they do just in, you know, this isn't about that. This is about the marriage they have with me. This is about how they deal with me. That is what the judgment is being based on. Now, you might say, well, and I've preached this 1,000 times, and you'd be right to say this. I thought you said, Holly, that in the New Testament, our judgment went on Jesus Christ. Yes, it did. Yes, it did, and thank God. And if you're in him and truly in him, thank God, you're safe. But what I want to read something that God gave to me, and this is out of the Old Covenant. I believe what he's saying is that this is how he looks at some of what has happened in America. And not just with the unbelievers, but with some of the church. There's things going on the church. And if you are just a church goer, you may not see some of these things. I remember when I first started to learn some of the things that went on behind closed doors, and I was mortified at some of the things that go on in the name of the church and in the name of the Lord. And Edgar used to tell me stories, because he was behind the scenes a lot with different ministries, all kinds of ministries. And he said he saw and heard things that were just so bad. And I have also seen some things. And so I want you to know I'm not talking to you, nor am I rebuking you in any way, but I'm saying that there are some things that will no longer be allowed to happen. And so I'm going to read to you Ezekiel 16. It's quite long, so bear with me. But I want you to know, and I feel like this is important. So I believe that in some ways this is a parallel, although here in Ezekiel, of course, he's talking about Jerusalem. But I believe this is sort of a parallel to how he's feeling right now about certain things that are going on that shouldn't be, okay? And I'm not talking to you, obviously. I'm preaching to the choir. You're the ones that love God and have put him first. Okay, it says, Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloth. No eye looked with you with pity on you to do any of these things for you to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed by you and I saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. I made you numerous like plants of the field, and then you grew up and you became tall and reached the age for fine ornaments. Now remember I said this is adults only, so, you know, turn it off if you have kids in the room and listen later. It says you grew up and you became tall. You reached the age for fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed, your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. And I passed by you, and I saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. I bathed you with water. I washed off your blood from you. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you with embroidered cloth. I put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. I wrapped you with fine linen. I covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments. I put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil, so you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth from among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was because of my splendor which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God. So this, I feel like he's saying, because America was founded on the gospel, it was founded on biblical truth, the blessing of the Lord has been upon America, and America has become extraordinarily wealthy. And some people who live here don't know that, but I've been to many countries, and I can tell you, you don't know the meaning of the word poverty till you go to some of the other countries. It's amazing the difference and the level of wealth that we have here. People that think they are poor here would be considered very wealthy in a lot of the countries that I've been to. Okay, so I want to go on. Now, it says, but you trusted in your beauty, and you played the harlot because of your fame. You poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. You took some of your clothes, you made yourself high places of various colors and played the harlot on them. Now, in case you don't know what that means, Israel used to make idols up on the high hills and go up and worship these foul gods, these false gods. And to God, that was cheating on him. You playing the harlot with them, says, which should never come about nor happen. You took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and you made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. So deeply offensive to God. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them and offered my oil and my incense before them. So think of, now be honest, think of Hollywood. Think of some of the stuff that America's done with her wealth, which God gave us. And what we've done is we've offered it to these, you know, honestly, whoredoms, you know, is the old-fashioned word, in every way. And I could be much more graphic, but I'll leave that to your understanding because I think you know what I'm talking about. There's just all kinds of dreadful idolatry. And I want to, well, I'll cover that in a minute. It's not just about the worldly people that I'm talking about. My bread, which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey with which I fed you, you would offer it to them for a soothing aroma, offer it to the idols. So it happened, declared the Lord. Moreover, you took your sons and daughters whom you had borne to me, and you sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? Like, wait, it wasn't enough you cheated. My paraphrase, it wasn't enough you cheated on me? But oh, now you slaughter your own children. This, I believe, talking about abortion. You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. And besides all your abominations and your harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth. Now think, we did not remember things that are now Christian principles are considered old-fashioned, ridiculous. Anybody with morals, anybody who dares to say what we believe about certain things, it's called hate speech. It says, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. Then it came about after all your wickedness, woe, woe to you, declares the Lord God, that you built yourself a shrine and you made yourself a high place in every square. You built yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable. And you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. You also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your neighbors. You multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. Behold, now I have stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations. Now, I will explain this in a minute. I do not believe God is behind the problems with the economy or the virus, and I will actually prove it scripturally that we are in the new covenant, but we have opened a door to the enemy. And when we open a door to the enemy, we can get clobbered. And he even says this. He said, I delivered you up to the desire of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines who are ashamed of your lewd conduct. In other words, the ungodly who don't even know me are grossed out. They're ashamed of your conduct because it's so lewd. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians. It just goes on and on. Okay. I just want to see if there's any more. He talks about that, with a real prostitute, they take money to do this, but you actually give these men money to do this. So just really, he's just really unhappy with how they have treated him, because this is all like a personal offense. This is like a husband whose wife doesn't just cheat on him, but cheats on him with just anybody who is walking by. Okay? And he goes on to talk about how Sodom is more righteous than this. And Samaria is more righteous than this. And then at the end, he does say, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you, and I will establish a covenant with you. You will remember your ways and be ashamed. In other words, you will eventually repent. So I was seeking the Lord about this because I really felt like he gave me this really scary and dreadful scripture. And I spent a lot of time saying, but Father, I believe you've taught me over the years that you have already, the day of wrath is not yet. There will be a day of wrath, but that will be for those who have refused Jesus. Because that's in the New Testament, the one thing we are judged for is refusing Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. It says, those who believe not the Son of God, they shall be condemned. Okay? And so I kind of said, how does this play out? How does this work? If because I know for those of us who love Jesus and he's first in our lives, one thing he has so given me revelation of is that the judgment that is due me, it went on Jesus. The judgment that I deserve went upon the cross, thank God. And so how do we look at these scriptures that where he, we can kind of see that he's not really thrilled right now with what's going on. And I do believe that he is in a way testing to see what America will do. Okay, so let's jump to 1 Peter, this is 1 Peter 4. And it says in verse 17, it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And then, if it is with difficulty that the righteous are saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? And so this is something that confirms to me. He had been talking to me that there's kind of three, if we were going to categorize people, we always think of, well, there's the saved and there's the not saved, and those who are not saved is they're going to have, they're going to have trouble. But there's more to it than that. This kind of divides people in three. It says the judgment will begin with the household of God. If it begins with us first, Then what will be the outcome for those who do not obey? And if it is difficulty with the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man? Well, one of the things I have been feeling for a while in the spirit is that the church is being divided. When I say the wheat from the tares, I don't mean the safe from the unsafe, saved. When I say that his winnowing fan is in his hand, what I believe is there are a lot of people in the church that have named the name of Christ, but either are not born again or they are have, you know, one foot in the world and one foot in God and think it's okay. And I'm not the judge, and thank God I'm not, but I have personally dealt with people who are in open sin and don't even think of it as sin. You know, I could just go on and on, but people who are, you know, living together, not married, doing really questionable things for business and acting like that's godly and calling me for why isn't God blessing me? Now, I love people and God loves them too. God's not, you know, he loves them and he wants to bless them. But what I found is if you don't want to be blessed, go live sinfully. Because what happens, it's not that God gets mad and judges you. It's that you open the door to the devil's realm and you begin to walk around in his world. And when you walk around in the devil's world, you get his stuff. You know, you get his goods. And what are his goods? Well, really, it's judgment. It is really, you know, sickness, disease, poverty. Those things are what the devil has for those who walk in his way. And so I feel like what God is doing is he's kind of putting his foot down and saying, if God be the Lord, serve him. You know, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. You know, either kind of the idea is get in or get out is the idea. And the idea with the winnowing fan, what God has really shown me is there will be a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they have no intention of going through anything for Jesus. They would never suffer for Christ. They would never put up with persecution for Christ. And when things get bad, they're going to go, oh, count me out. I didn't sign up for that. I just signed up for the blessing part. I didn't sign up for to be martyred. I didn't sign up to get, you know, beat up. And if you're so into blessing, now I love the blessing of the Lord and I have the blessing of the Lord and I walk in it all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. So did Paul, and he got beat up everywhere he went. And he did it gladly because he was doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that heart, I'm very concerned that we've been allowed the idea of being blessed to overtake the idea of dying for Jesus. Because Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. That means follow me unto death. And so a lot of the people that are going to blow away in the wind are people who go, well, I didn't think you meant that. You know, you told me I'd be blessed. You know, you told me that God would give me all these great things. That's the gospel message I heard. You didn't tell me they might put me in jail for my faith. You didn't tell me that I might suffer persecution. You know, I didn't sign up for this. And a lot of them will just blow away because they, you know, they really weren't in it for Jesus. They were really in it for themselves. So I was at a meeting Saturday and it was extraordinarily powerful. And I had to deliver some tough stuff. I didn't really want to be honest, but we got to give what God says, even if it's a good stiff rebuke. And there was some good stiff rebuking going on. And one of the scriptures God had me say under the power of the Spirit is, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Again, that is a New Testament scripture. And so I want to, first of all, this might not sound like it, but I want to encourage all my partners. I know that you love God and you have put him first and you have not just signed up for the easy road. And I know that for a fact, but I am sharing this for a reason. One of the things is there is a safe place in God. And one of the things that God has really been showing me is, you know, in the spirit realm, there is enormous joy right now. God isn't scared or troubled. The angels are not scared. I was sitting in my yard this morning worshiping and talking to the Lord, and it was like there just came an openness in the spirit, and I saw angels all around in a, like a big circle around my backyard. I have a big backyard, and they were all dancing this really fun dance. And I said, "Lord, what are they doing?" He said, "They're dancing the Mary Mary dance." And it made me laugh because it was so joyful and fun, and they were just worshiping. And you know, heaven is a blast, and God is not the least bit heavy or troubled or disturbed about how things are. Nothing scares him. There's never trouble in heaven. And if we make our abode with him, if he becomes our abode, if we abide in him we live and move and have our being, we are not only going to be safe, not only protected, not only blessed, we will know ahead what is to come. We'll know ahead where to be and when to be there. When if nobody has food, we'll have food. But we have to make sure to stay in him. That's the safe place, and that's the secret place. And so you might say, "Well, Holly, you're kind of scaring me here." Well, I don't want to, and that's my intention, but I believe God wants us to understand and see ahead, because there are storms coming that what we're in right now, this is not a storm yet. You know, this is just a little wind blowing. This little wind of a virus and the riots and stuff. It looks bad, but it's nothing compared to some things that I think may happen. But a lot will depend on what we do, what the church does, what the devoted remnant does, how we put God first. And there is a special grace during this time for people to come close to God, to spend time with him in a new way, in a deeper way. There's a real special grace for that right now, and even a special grace to be hungry and to enjoy your time with God. There's a wonderful grace for all of us during this season. And so I want to give you one more scripture, because I said, "Okay, God, I know that for months I've been preaching this, really, honestly, years, but the secret place of the Most High, he who abides in the secret place abides, dwells, live there, make it your home, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In other words, you're in his place. You're under his wings. You're safe. You're protected. You're fed. You're clothed. Everything you could need is going to be there. God will take care of you, and you'll know ahead. You'll know things ahead, because in that place, you do hear God. So don't let political stuff scare you or become a heaviness in your soul. If you're feeling a heaviness and a pressure, turn off the media. Just turn it off. It's that stuff. It's like hard to turn it off. If you start watching some of those videos of the riots and stuff, it just you get sucked in, and you know, before you know it, you've got a spirit of heaviness and worry, and that's all garbage. None of that is ours. None of that belongs to us. So I asked the Lord, what are some things that we can do? Number one being live in the secret place. Find your way. Find how. Ask God to show you and teach you how to spend time with him, and how to do life with him. You know, it's not a performance. It's a relationship where he does the stuff with you. I have projects that God and I do together, so then I don't worry about if I'm a little late, or you know, I didn't have time to do everything. He's always like, "Well, don't worry, we'll work on that, you know, but let's finish this right now." We do it together, and it's just so much easier. So number one, make sure, I know that you're born again, but if you have not made Jesus Lord of every area of your life, I just want to encourage you to do that, because there's a lot of people who've said the born again prayer and had the experience, but you're holding back one room in your house, so to speak, or one area of your life, or one relationship you don't want to give up, or you're holding on to the control of a certain situation. With everything in me, I want to warn you that if we hold stuff back from God, that is the area that it is now yielded to the enemy by default. There's only two kingdoms. You know, if you don't yield something to God because you don't trust him, or you want to run it, what you've done, you're not running it. You've yielded that as an open door to the enemy, and it will, trust me, it will clobber you. And I know, because I used to live that way. So make him Lord of all. And the way you do that is you say a prayer, and you say, "I'm tired of running my life. I'm tired of controlling things. I'm tired of trying to get you to do what I want. From this day, you are Lord, and I am not. and I will do whatever you say whenever you say it. And I want to encourage you to do that. Also, I want to give you a scripture he gave me. And I know you know this scripture. It's out of 1 Timothy 2, right in the very first and second verse. It says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petition and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." Now, of course, I've always believed in that, but in the past few months, this has become a very strong scripture to me. How do you pray for all men everywhere? And one thing that I do is I pray for all who are in the church, the global church, all who are born again, all who've named a name, all who grew up hearing grandma talk about the Lord, or going to even a denominational church and heard scripture or heard pieces of truth. I pray for that group of people to have real encounters with the living God. I pray for those who love God with all their heart to have wisdom how to live in the secret place. And I pray for the lost. I pray for laborers to be raised up. And they can't be legalistic, intellectualized laborers. They need to be laborers who, you know, I pray for people of every culture to minister to those in that culture. You know, there's a whole, I was praying for the goth. You know what goth are? It's a group of people. They seem very dark, but, you know, there are some saved. There are some who are saved, and they're kind of a mess, but God loves them, and, you know, hallelujah. So I pray for someone from that culture who's powerful, dedicated, devoted to Jesus with no compromise, you know, to minister to that culture. I pray for the different cultural aspects of the lost all over the world, for every religious group, every atheistic group, yes, the Satanists, everybody, because God desires that all men be saved. And so, when you pray, spend a little time praying for the church, for the lost. It's really important right now. I'm praying for the laborers. I'm just looking at my notes. I'm trying to read my writing. Hang on. I feel like the Lord said, this can be our greatest hour. It can be our most troubling defeat. But it will depend on how we respond. And if I'm speaking more urgently, it is because as the time draws closer and closer for some of the storms that are coming, there is more of an urgency in my spirit that if you were ever going to get it together, the time is now. And I've had to reconfigure some things in my life. I've had to completely revamp to come into a stronger position. And I think I've always been in a fairly strong position, but I've been spending a lot of time with God, and, you know, there's certain things he wants. And so I revamped things to be around what he wants. And if it means some things have to fall by the wayside, well, hallelujah, bye, you know. So I love you. I don't want this to be discouraging or scary, but I did want it to be directional and helpful, because I believe if we position ourselves in him, this will actually be a time of great joy, great peace, and great blessing. And one lady said, who is very prophetic, she said, this will be a revival, but it will be the uncomfortable revival, because in the world, there will be trouble. You know, there will be things that are happening that are going to cause people to say, I need God. People who never thought they needed God are going to begin to say, I need God. Can you help me? And so I want us to be ready, because I want us to be the ones. I want those of us who are dedicated to Jesus to be ready to speak, to have a word in due season, to have exactly the word. If you're on the street, if you're in the grocery store, if you're at church, if you're with your family, that you'll speak by the Spirit exactly what is the word in due season. Because I really feel like people's souls are hanging in the balance, and this is a crucial time, and so God wants us ready. So I hope it wasn't too heavy. I love you, and God loves you, and I believe that, I want to say this to you. Some of you worry, has gotten mad at me. No, darling, if you're born again, you have his stamp of approval, but I just feel like he's saying, get in the safe place, okay? So I love you, and I'll talk to you next time.